The following presentation was recorded at the 2010 Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute. More information at thedocforlearning.org.
Glad to be here today and benefit from the inspiration that relates to this skill of pedagogy. And it's good to be with administrators here today. I'm wondering how many of you have had a parent-teacher meeting, at least one meeting so far this year. Raise your hand. All right. How many of you had 100% participation from your patrons? Raise your hand. A couple. I'm pleased to say we did. All six patrons of our school were there. About over half of them are on the school board, so they better be there. I feel today like I need to borrow a figure of speech from our Protestant friends. I feel a little bit like I'm preaching to the choir today. I don't believe I have to convince school administrators, at least not many of you, of the value of parent-teacher meetings. Do I? Most of us would see value in parent-teacher meetings, and so today we might feel like, you know, what are you talking to us for? You ought to be talking to our patrons. You ought to go back home where we came from, and you ought to be talking to our parents. Hope it's not that bad. But I do want you to understand today that I think to revive parent-teacher meetings, we do need to start with school administration. Get that settled in your mind. If school administration is going to be lax and apologetic about parent-teacher meeting, then it's doubtful whether you'll light much of a fire for those meetings among your school constituents. Now, I do feel like I need to share a little bit of my background as it regards parent-teacher meeting, because I don't know many of you, and I don't know what type of and format of parent-teacher meeting you have in your schools. I came from a very small congregation in the state of Delaware that parent-teacher meetings were a highlight in our church life. And that may have been for a number of reasons. First of all, the school was in the same building as the church. Secondly, we were all encouraged to attend. In fact, sometimes, as I recall, regular prayer meetings were canceled in lieu of the parent-teacher meeting, and the whole congregation basically showed up for parent-teacher meeting. And also, because it was a small community, that fellowship and gatherings like that were very important to us, and it was very important to our social survival, if you please. And so I came from a background, and I appreciate that background of parent-teacher meetings being a highlight. I am also been around school life long enough to know that it is something that can be lost very quickly if we don't continue to emphasize it. I also feel like I should share the formats that I'm familiar with in case I'm not thinking of yours. Hopefully, there would be a number of things from this address that you can apply to your format. I am used to basically three formats of parent-teacher meeting. The first would be a formal meeting at school that consisted of two parts. There was an address given by a speaker on a subject pertinent to school. And then either before or after, or sometimes both, before or after the address, there was time given to visit the classrooms. And the parents were encouraged to visit with the teacher. Sometimes students displayed work and that type of thing. That's one format. And that's the one that I probably will look at most. Most of my thoughts will apply to. Another format that we use in our school that was new to me, until we were involved in the school that we are now, we have a parent-teacher fellowship drop-in. That's more of an informal type parent-teacher meeting. There's no formal address. A period of time is set where parents can drop by to visit with the teachers. This is an informal time when parents are encouraged to visit with each other. Children are generally there. And after this meeting, we do often serve a snack. No better way to bring people out than to serve a snack, huh? And we enjoy that. Another format that I'm familiar with is simply a scheduled time during the school day or evening where each patron has a scheduled appointment with the teacher, maybe a 15-minute time slot where there's a schedule and the parent sits down with the teacher and they talk about school issues as it relates to the students. Like I say, I will primarily be dealing with and promoting the formal type, not to minimize the others. maybe because there's more to say about the first type. Maybe that's the one that it's harder to keep it going and keep it inspirational. As I was thinking of this topic, I was rolling over in my mind why parent-teacher meetings are not supported. And there could be various reasons. I'm going to give you four this morning that I think enter in here. Number one, parent-teacher meetings sometimes are not supported because there is not very much appreciation for education, period. And that's probably a broad reason. That's probably the hardest obstacle to overcome when it comes to reviving parent-teacher meeting. It's a bigger process than just getting people to come to the meeting. It's a process of getting patrons to understand the value of education and support education. And I know that our conservative Anabaptist groups have grappled and vacillated in this area back and forth. My grandfather would have felt that a high school diploma is the least is the least bar you should raise, and maybe some college. And then after his children didn't do so well in that environment, it wasn't the only reason. But then we back down to where this education's a problem and it's dangerous. And now it seems like we're moving the other way again, and we're vacillating a bit. And I think it's important to think it through. I believe that we want to keep our churches safe. We have that common goal. I believe we need to work with each other and work and blend our convictions together in that area. But that's one reason. Sometimes when there's a low appreciation for education, that's a reason why parent-teacher meetings may not be supported. The second reason I thought of is that there's a lot of tension in the school, possibly between school administration and patrons. Mark it down. The higher your tension level goes, probably the more problem you're going to have getting people to support your parent-teacher meetings. Brings too many awkward situations and so on. I don't think I have to say much about that. Third reason I thought of is simply disinterest. Too many other things that crowd out interest in the school. Might be job. It might be simply this fine, busy American lifestyle that we all battle with. And parents maybe just aren't interested in what happens in school. Sad state of affairs, but sometimes that happens. Another reason I thought of is that sometimes, particularly a family that maybe have multiple children that face some academic deficiencies, they dread parent-teacher meeting because, once again, these deficiencies come into view. And that's hard for a parent to deal with when there are deficiencies. All the teacher ever does is tells me what my son or daughter cannot do well. And I think that can be an obstacle. Those are four reasons that I thought of. You may think of some others, but at least gets our mind going. There's two things I'd like to share now before we actually get into some thoughts on what we can do to revive parent-teacher meetings. The first thought I'd like to give is simply something that another brother shared with me as I asked him a little bit about this subject and asked for some of his opinion. He said this. He said, mark it down. The overall health of your school can often be determined by what kind of support you get at a parent-teacher meeting. Amen? I believe that's true. I believe that is very true. And if you're struggling and your school is struggling with getting your patrons to support a parent-teacher meeting, sit up. The brother just before I walked up here said something almost to that effect. It's the lifeline of the school. And I believe we need to begin looking for some health problems, if you please, if that's the problem. Now, maybe that's the negative side. I'd like you to just turn to a verse in Revelation 3. As I look at addressing this idea of reviving parent-teacher meeting, I would like to assure you that most likely every school has the tools that it takes to revive this type of meeting. And I thought of what Jesus told the church at Sardis. The church at Sardis was a dying church. And verse 2, he says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Now, Jesus was addressing the death of something that probably is a lot more important than parent-teacher meeting. He was addressing the spiritual health of this church, much more serious than what I'm addressing. But if you notice, the answer to that spiritual death was already among them. It was strengthening the things that are already there and reaching back. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received. And I'd like to help us understand today the things I'm going to share with you are not new. Probably you've thought of, if you think long enough, you'd have thought of every one of them. But this is simply given for your inspiration to help you to use the tools that you have to hopefully revive parent-teacher meetings in your school. I would like to share five key points, I think, that will help you revive parent-teacher meeting. Number one, plan and advertise a parent-teacher meeting properly. Plan and advertise a parent-teacher meeting properly. Give proper forethought to the meeting. Now, I want to provoke your conscientiousness here, school boards. Where on your agenda, you have a printed agenda for your school board meetings? Where on your agenda do you plan parent-teacher meetings? Is it near the beginning or is it near the end? Ours is often at the end. And so this clock is rolling around and we're discussing the issues and we're discussing the problems. And at about 10 o'clock, it's time to plan a parent-teacher meeting. Anybody have any suggestions quick before we close this meeting? Can you identify that? We're as guilty of it as anyone at our school. And we plan these meetings at 10:30 and you wake up the next morning and wonder how we got the subject and how do we do this, you know, sometimes. I would like to challenge us to give proper forethought to planning a parent-teacher meeting, because we said that parents are the lifeline of the school. And since they do indicate something about the health of our school, I think we ought to take time. We ought to evaluate possibly our purpose for the meeting. Maybe we ought to look at some weaknesses that we have and share on a board level, if that's who plans your meetings anyway. Give a little forethought. What would be helpful? What would parents like to hear? How can we do this better? Plan ahead. I said that, not at the last minute. Plan far enough ahead so that you can choose a proficient teacher. Have you ever come down about a week before it's time to have a parent-teacher meeting? We don't have a speaker yet, and so you're calling just anybody you can get to teach. We know, I don't think it's rocket science or human anatomy science to know that not everybody's cut out to have a parent-teacher meeting. And plan far enough ahead that you can have a proficient speaker come. Plan far enough ahead so that the patrons and the teachers and all involved can plan to be there. Plan far enough ahead so that you can take even some suggestions from your constituents. And I believe that, and plan far enough ahead, like I emphasized before, that you can actually come up with a subject that will do your school good. Also, as you think of properly planning and advertising a parent-teacher meeting, do not conflict with a lot of other activities. Sometimes our parent-teacher meeting attendance is poor because we've planned it a week when there's four other things going on. And I know it's hard to find a good open week. We did something different this year. We put the parent-teacher meetings on the schedule back in August when we made the schedule, when we planned our schedule. And sure enough, this week we're supposed to have a drop-in parent-teacher meeting, and our upper-grade teacher's grandfather died, and he'll be out of town, and so we've had to reschedule. But that's okay. We knew it was there. We could plan for it. We knew it was coming. And so be aware of when you plan the meeting, that it does not conflict with other activities. Print an invitation. Print an invitation. Announce the event at church. Create anticipation for the meeting. In the business world, they say create some buzz. You know what I mean? Advertise it. Build Get people excited about it. On your invitation, list your song leader, list your devotional leader, list the reports that you plan to have. Maybe there's some special features of this meeting. Maybe the art projects of the upper grade students will be on display. Announce it. Build some anticipation. If you do that, people are much more likely to come. I remember, here's a little idea for you. School that I taught in, it's a fairly old school. They had gone through a number of generations of books. In one meeting, they left it be known that there's going to be a table of old books that are no longer being used for free. I'm a tractor salesman. If you have food and you have something for free, you can get people to come in the door. I don't want to minimize the substance of a parent-teacher meeting. There should be a lot more than that that brings them in the door. But I remember standing there at the table wondering, who in the world is going to ever pick up these old books that the bindings are half ripped up? And I still can remember Deacon Brothers, a little older than me, coming in there and saying, where are those history books? North America, let's see, what was it called? History of North America. I remember, is there one here? Let me see if I can find the one with my name in it. And we had parents all over that table looking for books. And it was just a very interesting feature of the meeting. So advertise any special features that you have. Properly announce and advertise your meeting. Number two, keep your parent-teacher meetings informational. Maybe it's not as necessary in a small school when most of your patrons are on the board. It seems like everybody knows what's happening. But I think this is particularly important in your big schools. Parents, one of the complaints you hear over and over again if you're in administration is, we don't hear anything. You know, what's happening? Well, if parents know that your parent-teacher meetings are going to be informational, they will be there. Parent-teacher meetings are a terrific communication opportunity for all involved. Terrific opportunity. It gives the school opportunity to talk to patrons, but it also gives patrons opportunity to talk to school administration. And don't minimize that opportunity. Keep it informational. Have your school administration share reports. Maybe the principal would share some of the day-to-day activities or areas of need or goals. I remember not too long ago as principal sharing one of the needs that we saw in our school through some of the testing that we had done is that we needed a little more work with reading. And we talked about that at a parent-teacher meeting. It was amazing how many people took an interest in that. Have your children do more oral reading and talked about some of our goals. The chairman may share a report. You may not have all these every time. The chairman may share where we're at with the teacher needs, how many are coming back, how many are not, other administration news. Treasurer, obviously, you need a treasurer's report, don't you? And every parent, I don't know what was shared in the other class over there. I remember a caution given to a chairman one time, just parents think all you ever do is beg for money. Don't forget to thank them for what they do contribute to the school. And he did very well at doing that. Treasurer's report. One school that I taught at, in some of the meetings, teachers were expected to give a report. Or they simply gave a report of what their day consisted of or whatever they wanted to report. And that always makes the meeting very informational. And parents sit up straight and often listen very carefully as you go through that. Well, be sure teachers are using the opportunity to share with parents. I remember one time one of my teachers asking me, do we really have to talk to the parents about their children at these meetings? You know, you never can visit. What do you mean, can you? Absolutely, that's what I felt like saying. I understood their point. Sometimes you should maybe plan your parent-teacher type interviews at another time so that they can actually interact after your address. But I'm wondering, principals, particularly principals that are here, did you ever ask your teachers what they're planning to share with parents? Did you ever ask them? What are you planning to share? What are you planning to cover with your parents tonight? What are you planning to cover with this family or this family? Do that sometime. First of all, at least if you have a good relationship with your teachers, which I hope you do, I don't think you're just trying to manipulate them, but I found sometimes the teachers really enjoy that. You know, you can stimulate each other and it can be a beneficial time. Make sure your teachers aren't being all negative. Make sure your teachers are being fair. If you want to kill morale, just be negative every time with your parents. It'll kill morale real fast. Have your teachers pull a certain... I've done this myself. Probably proper for a principal to encourage teachers. This time, pull a piece of work that you are particularly impressed with of each student. Have it in a pile when the parent comes into your room. Say, I want to show you something here. You ought to see the smile that lights people's faces. I don't think we have... Obviously, there's problems we have to deal with, and we need to deal with problems. But be fair. My grandfather used to say, more people die of broken hearts than swelled heads. And I know you got to take that in the right sense. But there's a point to that where compliments do help us a lot in our work. It's a good time in thinking of keeping these meetings informational. It's a good time to show students work to the parents. Both I talked about privately, also publicly sometimes. Have the students clean and organize their desks. You know who does the best at inviting parents? Their children. Mom, I cleaned my desk very carefully. You need to come see this. And so if we have the parent or the students prepare for a parent-teacher meeting, why, that goes a long way in helping parents to be there. Number three, keep the meeting not only informational but inspirational. Get patrons involved. That's a good way to keep it inspirational. Use patrons. Assign an usher if you have tight seating. Have someone have devotions. Have another patron lead singing. So on. Get patrons involved. Helps to add to the inspiration when they're involved. Plan addresses. I'm thinking specifically of the address part of the meeting. Plan addresses that provoke interest. Make sure your addresses have a lot of variety. You can address school vision. You can address student issues. You can address curriculum concerns. You can look at relationship enhancements. You can look at various aspects of child training. You want some titles? You got your pens ready? Sometimes these titles need a little work. I'll give you a few. The Marvel of the Brain. Have someone come in. It's purely academic type subject. Here's a broad one. Worthy Goals of Education. The place of teamwork in the work of the school. Here's one I was assigned one time. Teaching our children the discipline of thinking. I didn't quite spend 150 hours, but close. Here's another one. The parents' homework. The life and times of Christopher Dock. Cultivating respect between teachers and parents. Here's another one I was assigned. Guidelines for inspirational school devotions. Did you know parents are interested in that? Have you ever heard parents say, well, it's my turn to have the devotional exercise if you do that anyway. I don't know what to say. Someone said that horses will eat from the same trough whether it's high or whether it's low. Keep it low and everybody benefits. Keep your subject matter first, second grade level. Everybody benefits. Helping our children enjoy singing. Character, the goal of Christian education. The golden rule at school. Here's one I really enjoyed as a teacher one time. The history of the Christian day school movement. You want to build a little vision. Get somebody that's good with history and have them look at the Yoder versus Wisconsin ruling when the Amish kept their children out of public school. You remember that? I don't. Too young. That was a very worthwhile evening we spent. Had a lot of inspiration. Anabaptists and whatever war you want to pick. I remember we had one, Mennonites in the American Civil War, related to history. Keep your meeting inspirational. Here's another little hint for you. After the meeting, have open discussion after an address where it's inappropriate. Advertise. You're going to have some open discussion. Oh, by the way, in light of Brother Dale's subject, you want to get everybody to come do something like this. ADHD, myth or malady? Everybody will come. Don't do that, though, when it's going to be dissentious. But actually, not a bad topic for someone who is qualified to help wade through whether it's medical or whether it is not. Not a bad topic, and usually a lot of interest. And that's a good one to have open discussion. after. One of the things that I would stress is that we do, even though we do try to pick subjects where we do see needs, do be careful that you don't exploit possibly a bad situation already. Make sure your timing's okay. You see what I mean? And sometimes we do need to be careful with that. Well, number four, as we think of reviving parent-teacher meetings, make the meeting convenient. I wonder how many, I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but I wonder how many of you let your children at home when you go to parent-teacher meetings. Another brother shared with me, he said he thinks that's really a negative thing. Number one, they have to get babysitters. There you got one horse, and then all the other parents are going, you know. So you have to find a babysitter, and that's one hurdle to jump. But this brother went on to say, he said, you know what? I think it does students a lot of good to sit in a parent-teacher meeting where maybe even administrative issues are addressed. He said it gives them a little broader perspective. But beyond that, he went on to say, he said to build that team of the school and families and children and parents, build that together is a very profitable thing. And I like to give that as a suggestion that when you have your parent-teacher meetings, do it in a way that your children can come. Now, I know probably the reason we keep our children home is sometimes there are sensitive things that need to be addressed. That I understand that. And maybe there'd be a place where we may have to ask them to stay home. And the other thing is that we all have a hard time making our young children behave when we're in with the teacher and they're out playing ball in the basement or something like that. But I think if we as fathers have an understanding amongst each other that, you know, or older brothers or sisters or single sisters in the congregation, whatever, I think we can make that work. And I'd like to encourage that if you want to revive your parent-teacher meeting, bring your children along to the meeting. Make it family-friendly. Here's another one. This may not be as important, but I believe that you should hold the meeting in a place where there's plenty of room. I remember a situation where the quarters were very cramped. Not only that, you needed to walk in the front of the room if you were late. Well, it was real easy to just stay home if things didn't go right that day, you know. And so hold your meeting in a place where there's plenty of room. Well, number five, intend for the meeting to be well attended. Intend for that. Like I say, we sometimes tend to be apologetic. I do not think that it would be manipulative or unfair as you share with potential patrons to say that one of our requirements is that just as your students are required to come to school, we require parents as much as life in you to come to parent-teacher meetings. That's not unfair, is it? That only makes good sense. And I believe that if you require that and make it known that you really mean business with that and you're going to plan a meeting that's worthwhile coming to, why, I don't think you'll have any problem with that. And then intend for others, even non-patrons, grandparents, if you please, others in the congregation. Our school is set up that our funds come through our congregation. We do not have a tuition. You're expected to give in the congregation. And if there were not some granddads in the congregation that wouldn't help us, we would be on a very thin shoestring type budget. And I think it's important that we include everyone in the work of our school. Make it a community, a church community event. Well, hopefully those are a few little hints that will help us to revive the Christian Day School. I'm glad to live in an age and in an area where we do have Christian Day Schools. And I would like to challenge us as we come to the end of this this meeting that we again understand the importance of a soul and understand the tremendous, I don't think I can emphasize the tremendous opportunity that God has placed right in our laps in the very school year in which we are operating today. And may God bless us and bless each of you and give us wisdom to use that opportunity to its fullest extent.
For more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit thedocforlearning.org.